Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. 12 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley and Steven Serta, your direction. Massive playoff implications. I'm with you on that one, Serta. I am with you on that. And how could you not look at it like that? I think the Chiefs are focused on this game. Again, it had a different feel in the post game yesterday. It had a different feel. It's like a team that was squarely looking at the Patriots. And I don't know how much time they spent during the bye week looking forward. I'm sure there was some on the New England Patriots, and why wouldn't there be? As you sit right now, the number one seed in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens. Number two, New England Patriots. Number three, Houston Texans. By proxy of beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs, the fourth seed. Same record as the Texans, 8-4. Buffalo, your fifth seed, 9-3. Pittsburgh, the sixth seed at 7-5 with the Tennessee Titans outside looking to close strong as we go. But again, Buffalo, they still got the Ravens, still got the Patriots. Buffalo can win the AFC East. Wouldn't that be interesting if they did? Who would have saw that coming? The Buffalo Bills. Now, here's the thing. Josh Allen may not have the completion percentage that you want. It's kind of bottom half of the NFL. Josh Allen, to me, he showed me something on Thanksgiving. Going on the road, beating the Cowboys in their house in front of Jerry Jones. And the fact on that fourth down play, he fumbled the ball, picked it up, got the first down, scrambled. It looked like he was maybe even going to break through. That play right there, Steven. I mean, did that sell you on Josh Allen, him doing that against the Cowboys? Because I thought that showed me something when he did that. So that real leadership. Guys on teams like that kind of stuff.
I don't think it proved anything to me about him as a player.
No, but I think leadership-wise, that goes a long way.
I mean, I think that he is a fine professional athlete. I don't believe him to be a good NFL quarterback. I think that the Buffalo Bills are a well-coached team with a good defense. I don't think Josh Allen is like a – and I don't see him developing into it either. I think Josh Allen is Blake Bortles. Like, he's a guy that's going to put up some numbers and win you some games. But when he doesn't have that other stuff around him, he's going to look awful.
You think he's Bortles? You don't think he's a better playmaker than Blake Bortles?
I mean, the rushing ability is different than Blake Bortles. But, like, his inability to throw a football – reminds me of Blake Bortles.
He's called him Bortles. He sure run the hell a lot of the ball that he did in Wyoming. Will he be middle tier? Like, who are going to be the quarterbacks going forward? I think we have Mahomes is, I think, the top of the class. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. Is Josh Allen going to be in that middle rung? Kind of that middle rung of the AFC? Quarterbacks to get the job done, maybe win the division, get to the postseason.
But, like, I wouldn't put... I think Andy Dalton is a better passer than Josh Allen is. Josh Allen's not good at throwing the football. Like he's just flat out not. He's got a big arm, sure. He can throw it really far.
Oh, he wants to challenge Mahomes.
The dude's accuracy is horrendous.
It's not good. It's bottom of the league.
But I mean, his playmaking ability is something that's going to give him an opportunity to be involved and be in that mix, I suppose. But like, he's not close to Carson Wentz. He's not close to – I don't think he's that close to Jared Goff.
Who would you take? Josh Allen, Pittsburgh, it's a mess right now. Right now it's Duck Hodges because he's better than Mason.
I would take Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, Duck Hodges, or Sam Darnold? I'm saying he's the head of the middle tier.
I mean, well, it depends on the situation. Like, I would rather have Sam Darnold personally – but that's if I get Sam Darnold without Adam Gase and I get someone who can actually make Sam Darnold a better player, because I think Sam Darnold's shown enough flashes that he could be a productive NFL quarterback if put in a good situation. He's just found himself in really bad situations. Josh Allen is in a pretty good situation, and they're winning right now because their defense is absolutely incredible, and Josh Allen is capable of making plays, but the way he plays, I don't think is going to set him up for long-term success in the NFL. Like Lamar, Lamar set up for long-term success because Lamar has drastically improved as a passer, and he's done it in a very short amount of time. So when Lamar does get, you know, if he catches up, if he gets a couple of injuries or something like that, Lamar has shown that he's more than capable of staying in the pocket and throwing the ball when he needs to. Josh Allen hasn't done any of that.
Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen? You still believe in Baker?
Yes.
You and I went round on round on this one when they got him. I wanted him to start from day one.
No, I mean, Baker took a big step back this season, in my opinion, based on what we saw down the stretch from last year. I don't think that's all his fault. I think the Browns are just a mess. I think Freddie Kitchens has done a poor job of managing that franchise, and it's clear that Freddie Kitchens is not capable of managing everything that he needs to manage as a head coach. I don't think the players respect him the way that they should be respecting their head coach. I think they just need more direction there, and I think Baker needs to be set up for success, although Baker has played a little bit better lately.
Josh Allen, 79% completion, 231 yards against Dallas, 2,591 yards passing, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I'm with you.
Everybody has a good game every now and then.
He has a good game every now and then. It's weird. Look at Jacksonville. What happened to them? Nick Foles got benched. It was Minshew mania time. You talk about a team that didn't cash in. You talk about a team that went to the AFC title game that's been floundering around since then. You can't do what Jacksonville did. You can't get to that point with that dominant defense, even make the best out of Blake Bortles, get to the AFC title game, and then turn into garbage. Like, you've got to be willing to take those steps. Like, that's the one thing. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything. Quarterback always gives you relevancy. Jacksonville's finding that out. I think Buffalo wants Josh Allen to be the answer, but again, I think all the ancillary pieces need to be good around Josh Allen for him to succeed. I don't think Pat Mahomes needs a defense to succeed. I mean, he's proven that he doesn't need it. Now, it helps. It makes the Chiefs team pretty damn good. Right now, I think the Chiefs are a scary team to play, and I've always thought this about the Chiefs. Are they a Super Bowl team or not? Yes, they are. They're a Super Bowl team because of what they have in Andy Reid. They're a Super Bowl team because of what they have in Pat Mahomes. They're a Super Bowl team because they have the combination of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid to kind of see eye to eye. They're on the same level going forward. That's a big thing for them. Now, Denver thinks they have their guy in Drew Lock. Drew Lock, local product. We'll talk to his dad tomorrow. Drew Lock had some interesting things said about him by one of his teammates. This showed something to me. Cortland Sutton, they got two touchdowns by way of Drew Lock, said this after the game. Drew Lock's actually audibling as a rookie, first start in two different plays.
Man, you know what's crazy? Drew actually told me I wasn't supposed to run that route. Drew told me to run it, and which I was happy that he told me to do it, because I'm not gonna go off schedule. But him telling me to do it, it was awesome, and it was cool to be able to get a touchdown from him and get him rolling, get his confidence going, and get the momentum going on our side.
He told you in the huddle?
Yeah, in the huddle, he told me, he was like, "Hey, run a fade." I was like, "Bet, cool."
That shows something. That shows some leadership of Drew Lock. Is he the answer in Denver? Again, I wish Drew Lock would have gone to the NFC, because I want to root for Drew Lock. I've always rooted for Drew Lock. Great kid, great family. Grew up right here in Kansas City, won the Simone Trophy. When it's all said and done, he will be the best quarterback to come out of Kansas City. You know, Josh Freeman right now at this point, but Josh Freeman needs to put up, well, Josh Freeman's not playing, but he will be that guy. It'll be Drew Lock going forward. Maybe Denver has their quarterback, but again, I don't think they have around their quarterback what they need. Just like Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, that perfect combination. The day that Dorsey was let go was the day Andy Reid signed an extension through 2021. And I know we've had the debate time in and time out. Who picked Pat Mahomes? Was it Brett Veach? Was it John Dorsey? Or was it Andy Reid? No, it was Andy Reid. There's no other argument, discussion. Andy Reid picked Pat Mahomes. Now, Lee Steinberg, his agent, had told me when he came on once that it was Brett Veach blowing his phone up the whole night of the draft. It took Dorsey to make the trade. Brett Veach did a lot of scouting on Pat Mahomes. Clearly, that was his guy. He brought him in, worked him out, those kind of things. But Andy Reid ultimately decided who his quarterback was going to be. Pat Mahomes defines what Andy Reid is going forward. Everybody is looking for what the Chiefs had in Pat Mahomes. And again, sometimes pinch yourself, feel lucky, because Kansas City has the hardest thing to do, and that's get a quarterback in the NFL that you can trust, that strikes fear in opponents. You don't ever forget that one time on Sirius XM where last year Brett Favre had a show. He needed Aaron Rodgers, believe it or not, because supposedly they didn't get along when Aaron was there under Brett Favre. But he joined him, and he talked about that fear, how Aaron Rodgers has that fear. You fear this guy coming in. I certainly did when the Chiefs played the Packers. I was like, man, don't give Aaron Rodgers all this time. Backed up on the one. I've seen him do this before. I've read this book. That's Pat Mahomes. You know, with Andy Reid, the way he spreads the field out, I think the best is yet to come from him. And, yeah, there was a text earlier that says, I think Andy Reid may have held back a little bit against the Raiders, give something to the Patriots. And I agree with that. Andy Reid didn't need to be wild in the second half. That game is firmly under control. The Raiders and Derek Carr were not beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Derek Carr cannot win at Arrowhead Stadium. That proved it there. John Gruden is not to Andy Reid's level. He doesn't have the team Andy Reid has. He's got a young team. He's got a team he's building with. And again, I think, you know, the crazy or genius, which is he for trading Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper? He wanted to build his team to the draft, and that's exactly what they did. That was their goal. That was their mindset. That's what they've done with the Raiders. And I think the Raiders are a year too early. I think they got hot there for a while. I think the Jets kind of set them down a little bit, that 31-point win. Coming into Kansas City and get waxed by the same total at Arrowhead Stadium. Back-to-back 31-point losses. That'll send a message to the Raiders. And I know Chucky was whining because his team's been flying around. They were in London. They've been playing. They went to the from the West Coast to the East Coast last week against the Jets. They had to fly back out here to Kansas City in non-California conditions and play the Chiefs. It's the way the schedule works. They're the ones moving to Oakland. Or Vegas, excuse me. But I think they're building the team the right way, doing it through the draft. You know, Brett Veach, I think, has to be happy that this draft class looks better because 18 did not look good. 19 is kind of redeeming the value of Brett Veach going forward. Juan Thornhill standing out. I think Hardman can be that guy too for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the one thing is, and I know the Raiders were bad, they kept the bad team down, and that's what you have to do. But not only that, they won in all three phases of the game. Special teams was actually good.
Do have a Andy Reid speaking with the media. We'll probably hear that here in a little bit. He did not have any injury updates, but when asked if Darrell Williams would be able to play this week against the Patriots, he sounded unsure, according to our friends at Arrowhead Pride.
He's not going to lose any sleep over that. He's not going to lose any sleep over Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams had to be the comfort zone for Andy Reid. I was curious how he's going to play the running backs. Without Damian Williams, was it going to be a lot of LeSean McCoy? What do you think he's doing with LeSean McCoy? I think he wants him to be sporadic. Sprinkle McCoy in, hit nice three catches, 20 yards, sprinkle him in, but he needs that go-to back, and he hasn't got that. At times, Damian Williams looks like that, and a lot of times he doesn't. Darrell Williams has shown flashes, and I do believe Andy Reid had the feel of the game. Again, it's the feel of the game. Pat Mahomes talked about it. I think the feel of the game, the ebbs and flow, which direction it's going. It was a Darrell Williams game. And by Darrell Williams getting hurt, it gave a chance for Darwin Thompson. I know after the game, everybody's like, Darwin Thompson, you know, he stepped up. You know, well, Darrell Williams got hurt for Darwin Thompson to come in. Make no mistake about it, that's why Darwin Thompson played. He wasn't sprinkled in until Darrell Williams got hurt. And then he gets hurt, then he gets his chance to play. And he made the best out of it. But to me, the Chiefs, the physicality of the Chiefs stood out yesterday. Also, you know, Travis Kelce at the end of his press conference talking about, you know, we got each other back. I'll go take this group anywhere. And again, I think this team is close. And that's one of the toughest things to do is build this chemistry. You think Flacco did that with the Broncos? Heck no. They wouldn't follow him through water. They wouldn't follow him through a puddle. You know, when Pat Mahomes got hit by Whitehead, When he jumped off sides and he ends up throwing Mahomes to the ground, that offensive line was quick. They didn't show it, but the offensive line was quick to get back there to Mahomes. When Derek Dieter was getting into it, who was there first, Stephen? Did you happen to notice who the first guy there was? It was none other than number 15. For his guy, Derek Dieter, who the Raiders had, I think it was Trayvon Mullen at that point, had the hand on the face mask of Derek Dieter. Pat Mahomes, the first guy there. Protected his teammates.
It's because they're best friends.
They are best friends. You know, talking, smiling on the sideline.
GD12.
Mahomes was the first guy there for Dieter. You think Dieter'd scrap for Mahomes? I know he would.
Oh, yes. Without a doubt. Derek Dieter, I make jokes. Derek Dieter's only on the team because he is best friends with Patrick Mahomes.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
I mean, I would love it. It would make me so happy if I just saw Derek Dieter just once get like a 90-yard touchdown. I think that would be absolutely amazing.
How bad do you think Mahomes wants to get it to Dieter in the end zone? What do you think Dieter would do with that ball? Think that'd be on the mantle?
Of course.
You think Mahomes would sign it to my buddy, Gehrig? Congratulations on your first touchdown. Like, I know they're planning that. I know they're planning a celebration when Dieter gets that touchdown. But Pat Mahomes is right there for his guy, Gehrig Dieter. But that's the kind of stuff I like. Like, Mahomes, that stuff's not happening. What happened with Mason Rudolph getting into it with Myles Garrett. That is not happening. Well, Pouncey, the way he defended Mason Rudolph, that would happen with the Chiefs offensive line. If it was Mahomes, even guys like Ragland talking about, hey, you don't want to mess with Pat Mahomes. Like, he's got that. They will do anything for that dude. And they've shown that. They will do anything to defend Patrick Mahomes. There's no cheap shots on him because they're coming after him. And I love that. I love the offensive line's mentality. I like the way they're acting. This team, again, has a feel to me like they did in St. Joe, close-knit group, and that's hard to do. It's hard to get the team to buy in. And I'll credit, and I know a lot's been talked about with Mahomes and his dad playing Major League Baseball. That's fine. And it's not about Pat being on, you know, on the field and meeting A-Rod and all this. It's not that. It's the fact that he learned how to control a locker room. You know, his agent, Lee Steinberg, said it right in the beginning with Pat. That's why they didn't do the endorsements. Prove yourself first, win over the locker room. What do you think LaTroy Hawkins, his godfather, said, and Pat Mahomes Sr.? Learn that trust in the locker room. That goes a long way. When your teammates believe in you, do you think the Broncos believed in Joe Flacco? Hell no. I remember when Flacco was asked if he's going to groom Drew Lock. The answer he gave is not the one you wanted to hear. Now, it's probably, right, hey, I got a job to do. I'm going to worry about myself. Well, his job is also to groom that. And I think the Chargers will go this way with Phillip Rivers. I think they'll draft a quarterback and let Phillip kind of groom him. Maybe. Phillip might be just cooked. Throws the ball up for grabs. Got 10 interceptions now against the AFC West. He's doing the things you don't want to see. But again, I think it bodes well for the Chiefs. That team that the Chiefs beat yesterday is the second best team in this division. And the fact that Andy Reid has tried to make it his point to beat the AFC West, which he's done a great job, 25-3 against this division since 2015. Absolute dominance. This game should have been no surprise to anybody. Andy Reid came into the game 17-3 after the bye, 18-3 now, owns this division. He had beat the Raiders 9 out of 10 times. That's 10 out of 11 times now that they beat the Raiders. But the Raiders did stand up. Never forget 2014. Chiefs were 7-3. Raiders were 0-10. Raiders beat the Chiefs that night. Sent the Chiefs in a tailspin. The only year in Kansas City, Andy Reid hasn't gone to the postseason. And then from then on, it's been foot on the throat of the AFC West. And he's dominant. And then he gets his quarterback. He gets his guy in Pat Mahomes. I feel that this game will dictate which direction, what we think of the Chiefs, not only locally, what we think of the Chiefs nationally. And it's not what we think. It's not what the national talking heads like Colin Cowherd or NFL Network thinks about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's what they think about themselves. Because the New England Patriots were the king of the mountain and still are until they're beaten. And I know the Ravens took their spot as the number one seed. But again, until you get to the postseason, until you knock off the king, you haven't knocked off the king. And yeah, I'll probably say the Ravens are better than the New England Patriots right now. Houston Texans proved it yesterday. But again, if that game was in Foxborough, a healthy Patriots, I don't know what happens in the game. Patriots probably get the advantage of the Texans in that game. But still, the king of the mountain is the king of the mountain until you beat him. Mahomes has a chance to do what Lamar Jackson has already done and Deshaun Watson already has done, and that's beat the GOAT Tom Brady. It's right there in front of him. It's why it makes this game so imperative. Really, this game is the circle of the calendar game. Chiefs and Patriots, it's the one before the season when it showed up. You have to beat that team. Mahomes is ready to play as soon as they lost that AFC title game. Won another shot at him. Won another crack at him. Sure, it's cool if Mahomes talks to him on the sideline or Brady talks to him after the game. You know, he wants to beat Tom Brady. He's as competitive as I've seen with the Kansas City Chiefs player, maybe that I've ever seen. And I've seen some competitive ones. Derek Thomas, most competitive guys I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen anybody as competitive as Pat Mahomes. And to me, it's about beating Tom Brady. And if he beats Tom Brady, that will be the deal. But the thing is, the Chiefs can't read their press clippings. They can't do it. I think this defense has been doing it. The defense has been sensitive at times. They're defensive what happens on Twitter. They're defensive. And you know what? I think that stuff has helped them. It's given them that chip on the shoulder they needed. I mean, you got to think about it, Steven. Every time you flip it on NFL Network or ESPN, they're talking about, yeah, but. You got Pat Mahomes, yeah, but. You got that defense. And if you're part of that defense and you have some pride and you're told how bad you are, no matter what you read, no matter when you turn on the radio, no matter when you turn on TV, how bad you are, it starts pissing you off, or you're probably listening to Christmas music this time of year. But if you turn it around and all of a sudden people are talking about the Chiefs, Chiefs defense won in Mexico City. They stood up for Pat Mahomes. They needed to. Like, I've always wanted to see what Pat Mahomes could do with a full complement and a good defense. And to me, that ought to be the mindset for Brett Veach. He's got the quarterback. Now it's his job to give him weapons. I felt they did this year with Hardman. Give him a weapon. You could say that Darwin Thompson was a weapon. Maybe Kareem Hunt was going to be a foresight. This is going to be a weapon for Pat Mahomes in the future, even though he played with Alex Smith that year. Hardman was drafted to help Mahomes. Like, that's the one, like, piece of help that he's gotten through the draft. They did go out and get Sammy Watkins. But through the draft, they primarily focused on defense. They've had 2 years to concentrate on that side of the ball. It's what you do. Look at New England. Tom Brady. All these other parts. From Deion Branch to Troy Brown. They never won a ring with Randy Moss or Wes Welker. They did with Branch and Troy Brown. But the one piece that's there and everything else revolved around him was Tom Brady. He was the one guy that stood up that was there. And I feel that Pat Mahomes is the guy. When you see the Chiefs now, the Chiefs in 5 years will look completely different. The one constant that'll be there. Yeah, maybe Tyreek Hill will still be here. Travis Kelce, who knows at that point, because he's going to be well over 30, mid-30s. The one constant is going to be your quarterback, Pat Mahomes. It's Brett Veach's job to put the pieces around him. The toughest thing is already done. He's got his franchise quarterback. He's got Mahomes. It's what you do with it going forward and be the dominant team. Can the Chiefs be the Patriots? It's tough to do what they've done, especially in a league where everybody spends the same amount of money. Everybody's got the same salary cap. Everybody plays by the same rules. Everybody drafts the 256 players depending on compensatory picks in the NFL draft. The field is small for what you do to draft. It's not baseball where you have to worry about international spending, JUCO, high school, you name it, what Dayton Moore has to deal with, which is a lot. It's a lot more than an NFL GM. You have a small piece. But he's got the toughest part done because he's got Pat Mahomes. This is the piece that everybody looks for, and he's already got it. This is why you should be happy. This is what makes Kansas City relevant and not flyover country. It's Pat Mahomes. It's why Nance and Romo in Kansas City. It's why James Palmer, NFL Network, basically implanted in Kansas City because of Mahomes. It's why Indianapolis became a go-to city in the NFL because of Pat Mahomes. It's why the smallest market in the NFL has Aaron Rodgers, yet he's on TV all the time in commercials, and they're relevant because of Aaron Rodgers. That's what the Chiefs have in Pat Mahomes. Speaking of Pat Mahomes, talk to my Monday morning quarterback. Well, it's Monday afternoon quarterback now. Kent Swanson, arrowheadpride.com. Let's dissect Pat Mahomes' performance next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back, 1230, Jay Binkley with Steven Serta. Going to check in with arrowheadpride.com's Kent Swanson. He's my Monday evening quarterback, turned Monday afternoon quarterback at this point, as usually joins me Monday nights. He is a man that would catch the knife from Pat Mahomes at the table. What's up, Kent?
Bink, What's going on, my friend? Glad the Chiefs pulled off a win in dominating fashion, and now it's, you know, I'm ready for this Patriots game. I think we all are.
We all are, Kent, and I'll tell you this much. You are Mr. Anti-Time of Possession Matters guy, and I've noticed this from you today very slightly. Chiefs lose time possession, win the game. I'm surprised you didn't use the Patriots as an example. They had the ball 10 more minutes than the Houston Texans. I'm shocked because I'm the other way, Kent, but I'm shocked you didn't use that as part of your argument.
If I was in New England, I would, but I want to keep it local here, my friend. And it was a 31-point blowout. So, I mean, it wasn't a one-possession game like the Texans game. The Chiefs dominated that football game largely and lost the time of possession game. So hopefully people will maybe this will be what finally just gets you to have a little chill in your life about it.
No, I'm not, because you know what the Patriots are going to try to do, Kent? They're going to try to keep number 15 and keep you from doing a lot of film study this week.
Hey, you know, anything to keep the reps I have to chart down, I'm okay with, as long as the Chiefs get a win.
Kent, there were some things about Mahomes in that game that I liked. I like the fact that he doesn't have to throw for 300 yards and win a game. I like the fact that the defense has been stepping up for him, which I felt that he really hasn't had maybe since Pee Wee football. And I like the fact they were able to run. Now, again, I talked about this in the post game. His numbers would have been a little bit different, albeit the win, and the win sucks for quarterbacks. I'll give you that one. But they didn't have to use him at the end. They were able to run the football, Kent. You know, kind of run the ball, run the rock for Pat Mahomes, and that was a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, they milked that fourth quarter, didn't they?
I mean, yes.
Darwin Thompson, they didn't turn around and hand the ball to him because there was a shotgun, but they let Darwin Thompson eat a little bit to the tune of 4 yards per carry, which is, I mean, that's fine. That's adequate, I guess. But, you know, I like that. I like that they were just kind of able to bleed things out, not show too much. I mean, at this time of year, like, I mean, just in general, NFL teams, it's not about, you know, trying to show all your cards. Right, you're trying to pace yourself a little bit here, and I think, you know, the Chiefs have done a good job. They didn't have to show too much to the Patriots this week in the fourth quarter, because they were just handing the ball off basically the same run concepts mostly.
What did you – can't you play the position? You were a quarterback. You played college football at the position. I'm sure you faced some rain games. You faced some mud. What is a quarterback's worst enemy? It's got to be the wind.
For me, it was rain. I think you know, the wind obviously did have a factor on the play of the game, because like you saw some of the throws kind of adjusting a little bit. But for the most part, I thought Mahomes did a decent job of fighting through it. And I mean, his arm talent cuts through wind better than anybody. I hated personally trying to throw a wet football. It's just, you're thinking about it a little bit. You're having a hard time, gripping through. So like, Your mind is a little bit adjusted, trying to make sure that you keep possession of the football cleanly while you're delivering a throw and stuff like that. So I didn't like it. I don't think any quarterback really wants to. Like, I'm sure Mahomes wishes, you know, he was in the Matt Stafford situation where he gets to, you know, sling the ball around in the dome for most of his time, or like the AFC South where there's two dome teams, you know.
Can you imagine if Mahomes was in a dome?
Ugh. It'd be fun. I mean, we saw what, 65 air yards or something against the Falcons in the preseason 2 years ago. I think he hit a couple of those in a regular game.
Here's the one thing, and people are saying, what's wrong with this offense at this point? He had his full complement of weapons except for two games. I do think altitude did make a difference. I mean, we saw the way these guys were sucking down oxygen, both teams, 2,000 feet higher than mile high. The defense stepped up. I'll take that. I will say this, Kent. There was some throws in the game. And even Andy Reid doesn't make excuses, but even after the game, he acknowledged it was really windy down there. And there was a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce. Clearly, the wind affected the ball.
Oh, I think that was the throw that affected it the most. And, I mean, you saw it looked like it got adjusted in the air a little bit, and they kind of showed a little bit of a slow motion of that. And I mean, that is obviously the kind of play that would, because Mahomes was lofting and throwing the ball with a lot of loft. He was throwing it across the field, you know, kind of a cross throw, not necessarily driving it down a hash or something. So, I mean, that is absolutely the kind of throw that's going to be really difficult to kind of gauge. And, I mean, it fell short and to the right of Kelce. And, you know, I think in a more, you know, accommodating environment, that still probably goes for six.
Talking to Kent Swanson at Kent_Swanson, lead draft and film analyst for Arrowhead Pride, and of course, my Monday evening quarterback, breaking things all down, Mahomes. And I will say this, have you noticed a difference with guys wanting to step up for Mahomes? Because it seems we saw a little bit from the running game. Now, Darwin Thompson wasn't supposed to get, even though Eric Bieniemy said he's going to get the football, it took that Darrell Williams injury for him to get the rock. But it seems like the defense, and I loved what Derek Nani said after Mexico City, we have to step up for Mahomes. He's the only guy I've heard say it. Now, Okafor said it, we need to step up for Matt Moore. But I haven't heard that mindset from the defense with Mahomes.
I think everything in general after that Titans game, honestly, I think everybody kind of had a little bit of moment of honesty. And it's not just stepping up for Mahomes, too. I think this team has a good understanding after that Titans loss that they've got to bring it on both sides of the ball. They have to go out there and execute at a high level. There's no more margin for error for this football team. They've got to go out there and they've got to execute at a high level on both sides of the ball. And, I think the defense has done a really good job stepping up. I think the offense still has a long ways to go. And I'm supremely confident that this group is capable of pulling it together, but I think that they really are still trying to figure some things out there. I think that there's a lack of rhythm and kind of a little bit of a lack of identity right now on offense, but I think this group is more than capable of pulling it all together. And I think, a challenge like the New England Patriots is a good place for them to kind of start regaining and building that identity.
Do you think teams are playing this offense differently? I mean, you have to make those readjustments. I started to see this towards the end of last year, and I think Lamar Jackson teams will be kind of accustomed to trying to slow him down. That will happen. It'll depend on how they readjust itself. But I started to see this kind of towards the end of last year. And again, we're talking about a team that averages 29 points a game, Kent. And they haven't had all those defensive touchdowns like the Patriots have.
Right. And I think, it's still, I don't want to get too down on the offense, obviously, because they still have been productive and all that stuff. And they're still a very good unit. But I do think some defenses have started to figure some things out about them. I think, teams are intent on really trying to eliminate the vertical passing game. They're really trying to get depth. And they're going to say, Patrick Mahomes, you're going to just take what we give you. And I think you saw that in the Chargers game last week. The first half, they were trying to challenge down the field. They were trying to be aggressive. They were trying to get vertical. The Chargers were not going to let that happen. So they were gaining a lot of depth. So what did the Chiefs do in the second half? They threw it short. Travis Kelce, little hitch routes, little over-the-ball routes, those kind of things. They just started laying it up in front of the underneath defenders. I think the Raiders kind of did a little bit of that, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something to monitor is, I think teams are really going to just try to make this group drive.
I will say this, Kent. We've talked about this all year long. When it came to that ankle, we've kind of been following the ankle before, and then the ankle left ankle turned into the right knee in Denver. I will say this. If there's anything that's shown me the last couple of weeks, Mahomes is fine, man. I mean, leading rusher, 59 yards against the Chargers in Mexico City, was the leading rusher in this game until Darwin Thompson kind of took over on that 14-play drive. But I will say this. He was going to lead this team in rushing for two straight weeks, which you cannot do. They need somebody else to do it. You don't want to see Mahomes running that much. But the defense is spread out so much. Andy Reid uses all corners of real estate that it's opened those lanes up for Pat Mahomes. And this has actually been very dangerous for him.
I think it's a nice little wrinkle, and I do think he's at full strength. I think he is fully healthy, and I think it's a nice little wrinkle that he's kind of starting to utilize his legs a little bit more. A lot of it has been obviously undesigned, so it's just like last week it was just him, or 2 weeks ago, sorry, against the Chargers, he was just running out of the structure of the play. You saw that on the touchdown, he ran out of the structure out of the play, but you saw in the second half, too, they started using the little zone read. So, Mahomes was pulling some, and they were running a little bit with him. I think that might be to help the run game a little bit, because if they start having to account for Mahomes, because some of their best runs, designed run plays were him keeping the ball and running it, which you don't want to see. you don't want him getting exposed too much, but if teams have to honor that, maybe that helps, you know, them have to kind of maybe adjust how they're going to play a Mahomes pool. Maybe they have to start scraping and getting a guy out of the box potentially, and they can, you know, do a little bit more on the front side of the run play. So it's definitely something to monitor what they decide to do there if they continue to try to utilize him a little bit more in the run game.
Let's look at this week, Kent. It's the New England Patriots. It's going to be interesting how they stop. Now, the Patriots have been beaten by Lamar Jackson, and now they've been beaten by Deshaun Watson. Pat Mahomes is better than both those guys, in my opinion. I know everybody's talking Lamar and Deshaun. That's fine. Pat Mahomes is still the best quarterback to do it. How much do you think it means to Pat Mahomes, you know, seeing those guys beat him, seeing Lamar beat him, seeing Deshaun, for him to get over that hump and beat Tom Brady?
I think it has to mean something to him. And if you think that he hasn't been circling this day, I think you're crazy. Because, you know, Mahomes, two of his losses last season came at the hands of the Patriots. Obviously, one of them came in the worst time, in the AFC Championship game. You saw him finish so strong in the second half. I think he's going to be focused on a 60-minute football game, completing and executing at a high level for 60 minutes, not getting slowed down early like he did in both games last year. I mean, that's the truth. Like, both games, really. It took him a half to kind of get acclimated to what the Patriots are doing, and then he went. We haven't got to see, you know, the full Patrick Mahomes experience in a long time. My gut tells me this is the week that we really see him kind of put things together. And hopefully it'll be enough, because I think it's going to be – but the defense has played well. I think it's a bad matchup for them against the Patriots.
Kent, what happens in this game, though? We've seen Belichick take out Kelsey. We've seen him, you know, take out Tyreek Hill, that bracket coverage that he likes to do. Sammy Watkins did at over 100 yards in the AFC title game. Who stands up? Is it Hardman? Because you can't take all the speed out from the Chiefs. With Robinson, with Hardman, somebody's going to eat. Somebody's going to eat in this game, and Pat Mahomes has shown that ability to spread the football around, and he'll find the guy that's not being covered as much.
I think if the Patriots go try to man up across the board, it's not a Mecole Hardman game. I don't think that's a fit for Mecole Hardman, because he's not developed as a route runner, and he's had a hard time getting off of man coverage. I think you hope Sammy Watkins steps up, but he's not looked particularly good the last few weeks. And he got targeted three times, had zero catches yesterday. The Chiefs had one receiver catch a football that counted, and that was Tyreek Hill yesterday. So, I mean, they're going to need the receivers to step up. They're going to have to get a little creative. They're going to have to try to create some rubs for guys like Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to get them free. And then they're going to have to kind of focus on that. The offensive line is going to have to play their best game of the year. And that's they haven't played well. They played poorly this week, too. So, I mean, there's still a lot of things with this offense they got to get together to rise to the occasion of this challenge, because this is, hands down, the most difficult challenge they faced. And what they put on tape last week or last night is not going to be good enough to beat the Patriots in Foxborough.
Kent, one thing on Hardman there, last question for you. Quarterbacks of the Chiefs have a 153.6 rating on throwing to Mecole Hardman. Now, keep in mind that was on 32 targets. Where would you put his route running ability with Tyreek Hill? Because Tyreek Hill really became a defined receiver. He was kind of both running back, receiver, slant. You know, he wasn't used fully to his capabilities his rookie year with the Chiefs. Where would you put Hardman as far as the route running with early on rookie Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill, at this point in their career, when they were rookies, Tyreek Hill was better than Mecole Hardman. And it's not, I'm not trying to knock Mecole too much, but Mecole cannot do the things Tyreek Hill does. That's just not his game. He's a much more linear player. And I think, you know, you talk about some of the targets and stuff for Mecole. Part of the reason that the passer rating is so high for a guy like Mecole is a lot of it's the manufactured touches that he's doing something with. So those little touch passes in the backfield where he's motioning across, and screen plays, and, you know, most of the time it's him, you know, just, you know, outrunning people. It's not a really well-developed route tree. Mecole's got a long way to go. I don't think he's ever going to be the kind of route runner Tyreek Hill has developed into, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be a successful football player. I think he's going to wind up being more of like a Ted Ginn type player, more of a linear player. But in this offense, that can still work, because if everything is clicking and he's getting to run down the field, he can have a lot of success because we've seen it already. There is explosive potential getting him the ball. It's just, it's not going to be in the always in the traditional kind of way that you get most receivers the ball with a well-developed route tree. Let him run down the field. Let him catch balls behind the line of scrimmage. That's his route to success.
Ken, I know I said that was last question, but, you know, we've talked about this. This wide receiver draft class is ridiculous. If you're Brett Veach, are you still bringing in weapon after weapon for Pat Mahomes in the passing game?
No doubt. I don't think it's any question. They've got to invest continually in this in the weapons of this offense because you saw what happened when Tyreek Hill wasn't in. It was much more difficult for them to generate offense, and it has been. When teams can challenge them with man coverage and no one can get uncovered, it's a problem. They need to continue to invest in the weapons. I wouldn't be surprised if they find a veteran that they bring in this year and then also invest a top 100 pick in the receiver position because they've got to continue to stack weapons for this guy, and they got to build a deep group to handle the rigors of an NFL season.
Is the number two receiver on this roster right now?
No. He's not. I think McColl profile is more of a three kind of guy, a more, I don't want to say gadgety, but a very niche role. I don't think he's ever going to develop into a guy that's going to be able to kind of run uncovered in a lot of areas. So you're going to probably invest another pick. You're probably going to, I wouldn't be surprised if they go grab somebody in free agency to try to help with that as well.
Great stuff. At Kent _ Swanson, lead draft analyst for arrowheadpride.com, who's already knee deep in working on the draft for 2020. Kent, always enjoy talking Mahomes and Monday morning quarterback, Monday afternoon quarterback, Monday evening quarterback, whatever time I'm on, I like talking. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend.
There you go, Kent Swanson. That was good stuff by Kent Swanson. I enjoy breaking down Mahomes each and every week. I geek out on it, Serta. You know me, you're a big geek when it comes to this stuff. I get Kent on the phone and it's like old friends, man. It's almost like we have a couple beers and we're at the bar talking. Probably could have done 4 hours with Kent, to be quite honest with you.
I don't mind a little quarterback breakdown every now and then.
No, I like it. You know, he had a responsibility, you know, and I felt bad because Craig Stout, arrowheadpride.com, he had to look at every play of that defense last year. So he's got a little bit of a break this year because he got the, you know, Spags changed. But, you know, Mahomes, how do you criticize that? I mean, that's the toughest thing to do, what Kent had to do with that. I don't know, though. I mean, do you see the number two receiver on this? Because Sammy Watkins is going to be gone. Do you bring DeMarcus Robinson back? Has DeMarcus Robinson shown you enough to be a number two? He's not shown. He's an explosive player and a great player. He is not a number two. The number two does not exist on this roster. I'm with Kent. I think McCole Hardman's a three. I think McCole Hardman can develop into that. But I do. I think Tyreek Hill is more advanced at that stage than McCole Hardman as a rookie.
Well, I think early on you could tell that Tyreek Hill was more than just a deep ball guy.
Quickly found that out.
Well, I think you could tell that, like, yes, his explosiveness was next level, but his work ethic was also something that put him on a different level. And now this year when he's been healthy, he's looked like one of the five best wide receivers in football. Hardman, yeah, he's a he reminds me of a ton of guys in the league. Well, granted, he's been insanely productive with the limited amount of work that he's gotten this season, but he is just a big play machine at this point. Now, that's not to say he can't develop into a better route runner, into a better overall player, and I think that they believe that they can develop him into that. We'll see. I think that Andy thinks that he can get wide receivers in different places, though, and find guys who he can make productive, so I don't think that's something that he highly stresses about.
And that's the one thing, too. It's the Mahomes factor. What can he do as far as elevate the talent of the receivers about him? Do you need that quasi number two, or can Pat Mahomes raise their level? We saw what he did with Albert Wilson. I mean, he had a JV team in 2017 when he played the Broncos, and he elevated. Albert Wilson got almost a third of his production in that game. Albert Wilson got paid because of that game with Pat Mahomes. Yes, Peyton Manning had Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison. You know, he made Stokely look good. He made Austin Collie look good. He made Jacob Tammy look good. You know, you elevate those around you, the talent around you. But when you think of some of these great quarterbacks, they've always had that go-to guy. You know, Joe Montana, John Taylor, or Jerry Rice. They had those go-to guys. You know, Dan Marino, Mark Clayton, Duper. You know, you have those guys, great quarterbacks of those talent. The ones that kind of haven't points He's Tom Brady elevating the talent around him. Sure, he had Randy Moss, but he never won a ring with Randy Moss. He won his rings with Deion Branch and Julian Edelman. Which Julian Edelman's a fine receiver, but, you know, I don't know what he does on other teams. It takes a good quarterback to be there. You're smiling. You think Edelman can be that guy with another team? Maybe he could. He finds it. DeAndre Hopkins said the one receiver he looks up to is Julian Edelman. That's the player that DeAndre Hopkins watches is Julian Edelman.
I mean, Edelman is...
That means something.
I think Edelman could be productive with another team. He's a guy that's just... He's really, really fast in small bursts, so he's really hard to cover on the underneath stuff. That's what he's made an entire career out of.
But he finds that crease, he finds that seam. At his age, I mean, it's impressive what he's been able to do. Believe it or not, Rick Goslin, that joined my show last week, the night show, he was a writer for the Dallas Morning News. Do you know he put Bill Belichick on to Julian Edelman? He said, you got to check out this Kent State quarterback. I think he can make a fine receiver. Belichick admits it. Rick Goslin helped him find Edelman. When's Belichick ever given credit to a writer? Well, he did with that. Is Rick Goslin part of that NFL Top 100? Which, by the way, you watching the show?
I've seen bits and pieces, but I haven't sat down and watched the entire thing. I know it's something that I would love. It just doesn't fit very well with my schedule when it
but
comes
you, out. But you would love it to death.
Yeah.
And I want people like Grant that works here, like Crane Dog, that thinks the world just existed when they were born, to watch that. Because it is remarkable what they do with that 26-member panel that put these guys together, because they went outside of era. So many times it's recency bias for what you do. You're smiling again. You smile a lot, Serta.
Yeah. Just just a happy person.
You talking about the text line where someone says, I need to get a room with Kent?
Yeah, that was it.
It's not funny. Go have a beer with Ken Geek out. Yeah. His draft guide was phenomenal. I'll be honest with you. I spent a lot of time reading it.
I've had a beer with Kent before. He's a very nice guy.
It's very fun. Pete's a good guy. Big Pete's texting in a lot. He's stuck in here. He's stranded in Kansas City. Poor Big Pete. He wants a place to go watch Monday Night Football tonight. I may have to indulge. Mrs. Sweeney, Pete's mom, was in here yesterday. She helped us do the player of the game. She wanted to see Pete in action. She wanted to see Pete work. The plaid prince was wearing plaid.
I met them on Friday night.
Good people, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Really enjoyed ourselves. Had a good time.
Who do you like better, Big Pete or Little Pete?
I like them both.
I like him, too. But this his mother is definitely a very nice person. I really enjoyed seeing her. Andy Reid spoke about what happened to the Raiders. Looking forward to the New England Patriots. Bring you Andy Reid from today next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.